The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield on 702. For the curious on 92.7 and 106 FM.
Welcome to The Money Show on this Friday night. A busy day for a Friday. Good US jobs numbers. That's changed the tone on global interest rates. We'll talk about that and possible impact it has on South Africa as we head towards another Monetary Policy Committee meeting of the Reserve Bank, where they need to cut rates. They really do. Our inflation rate is under control relative to our history, and a bit of a boost would be nice. We'll speak to the man representing Ivan Pelle. Court actions flying thick and fast today. Pravin Gordhan and other executives at SARS being accused of all kinds of nefarious activities linked to the rogue unit, and whether or not it was legal and only the president had the authority to set up a rogue unit. And it's getting very, very messy. It's going to end up in court, and the sooner the better to get clarity on these issues, and so that we can all put this noise aside and move on and let the public protector do the good work that she should be doing on things like the Freda Dairy Farm project and all sorts of other things as well. Jean wants to know what Gordhan is doing. Hadebe resigned at the end of May 2019. His successor is nowhere in sight. I'm very disappointed in the Minister and government. The biggest crisis and no plan. It's a tragedy. Yeah, it's a crisis, Jean. You're absolutely right. Hadebe's still there. He hasn't walked out. Boyani Johanna has walked out of SAA. He asked to be released immediately and was, and there's an acting CEO in place there. But Hadebe is still very much in place at Eskom, I think, for another couple of weeks. So there's still some time. But yes, we need a chief executive urgently, one who is able to withstand the brickbats and the huge pressures and stresses and the enormous obligations upon them. It really is a huge job. We're going to talk to Bernard Hotz, who represents Ivan Pelle this evening. We'll talk to the public protector spokesman. We'll talk about Old Mutual and the big fights with Peter Moyer. Old Mutual finally coming out from undercover and willing to actually make some verbal statements after issuing press statements that have got people tied up in knots and things. So we'll talk all about that tonight. Lots to come. Plus, coming up in the next hour, your chance to win 4,000 rand in cash courtesy of us at 702 in Cape Talk and Altron, there when it matters. And I will be asking you questions. You will phone in. You will answer as many as you can. And if you impress us with your mental dexterity and your ability to, under extraordinary pressure, answer some frighteningly difficult and brutal questions, you may be the one to get 4,000 rand. That's all coming up later with Altron.
The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield. Live. Online. Smartphones. DSTV. And 92.7. And 106 FM.
Well, a crazy day of statements, claims, allegations, and denials. And that's not even Old Mutual. That is all of the stuff around the public protector and Pravin Gordhan, of course. All hell breaking loose today with the public protector making a series of statements in matters linked to the SARS rogue unit. Pravin Gordhan's response, a written response from Pravin Gordhan, saying neither the office of the minister, Pravin Gordhan, nor anyone in his legal team has received a formal notice, correspondence, or report from the public protector about alleged findings and remedial actions prior to these being announced by her to the media, including her YouTube live streaming. Minister Gordhan has stated unequivocally and unreservedly committed to uphold the Constitution and the rule of law, and whilst respecting the office of the public protector and cooperating with investigations. Minister Gordhan, like many others, has recorded his serious misgivings about the incumbent, her conduct, and her partiality. From today's announcement with respect to Minister Gordhan and his tenure as the former commissioner for SARS, it is apparent that the public protector continues to get the facts wrong, get the law wrong, and is demonstrably biased. I mean, this is deadly serious stuff. Ivan Pelle, the man for whom Pravin Gordhan is alleged to have breached the Constitution by giving him early retirement, he's going to court, emphatically denying all of the findings of the public protector. And again, he says they are factually and legally flawed. His lawyer is Bernard Hotz, the head of business crimes and investigations at Worksmans. You do represent Ivan Pelle. What does and why does the public protector, in your view, have things so dramatically wrong?
Good evening, Bruce. Thank you for having me on your show. It's interesting to note, Bruce, as a matter of interest, at the time of the media briefing, my client, too, had not received the report. A copy of the report was only emailed through to my offices by the public protector at 5:01 this afternoon. And it's 122 pages, which I haven't had a chance to fully read yet. But suffice it to say, Bruce, the problem is, in our press release, in our media statement, my client instructed me to release his affidavits, which were presented to the public protector. These are detailed, detailed affidavits dealing with all of the issues, pointing out the errors in the law, and in fact, attaching opinions from Judge Nugent, from the Nugent Commission, attaching opinions from eminent silks like Advocate Wim Trengove, attaching an apology by Judge Frank Kroon, and yet all of that's ignored, and for instance, the public protector says, well, the unit was unlawful.
I mean, you've been in this game long enough, Bernard, to know that when it comes to a battle between lawyers, the thickness of the pile of paper often to swamp the other side is what can sort of buy you a little bit of legal time. The affidavits and and Ivan Pelle's 115-page response to the public protector, which you say was disregarded, is then met with 122 pages of response from the public protector. This is a peeing contest between lawyers. It would seem. Can we not speed this process up and say, look, you're ignoring me, I'm ignoring you, let's get this thing into court, let's do it on an urgent basis, and let's settle this thing once and for all, because this does nobody any good.
Well, precisely, Bruce. The Chapter 9 institution is a very, very important institution. We have no problem with that. We have a problem in the way matters are being handled, and as you correctly say, the court is the correct place to go and ventilate these issues. The court will see, and it's inappropriate for me to do it over the radio or over TV because I don't want to adjudicate it in this forum, but the court will see the facts. There are so many facts, and that's why the papers are so large. You cannot simply gloss over the facts. You cannot pretend that Judge Nugent found that there's nothing unlawful about this unit. You cannot say, well, he didn't investigate. Of course he investigated. You cannot ignore Judge Frank Kroon, who gave an apology and said, they got it wrong. Sikakani panel got it wrong. Judge Kroon has issued an apology. You cannot ignore a judge simply because you say it's a commission, and yet the Chapter 9 institution is more lawful than a simple commission. Let the court decide. Let the court adjudicate over these facts, and at the end of the day, there must be a judgment which hopefully will do justice at the end of the day.
If you could summarize 115 pages of Ivan Pelle's documents and 122 pages of response from the public protector into a tweet and say, what is your primary gripe here with the public protector? What would that be, Bernard Hotz? The sort of elevator pitch gripe.
There is a dearth of proper investigation. There is a complete lack of understanding of the institutions, of the legislation. And unfortunately, Bruce, that's what I have to say. That's what I'm going to be telling the court. That's what I'm going to be arguing to the court. And I'm going to show the court the facts and the law to show why the public protector has got it wrong.
Bernard Hotz, thank you. Head of Business Crimes and Investigations at Worksmans. Opa Sekhalwe is the spokesperson for the Office of the Public Protector. Yeah. Here, Ivan Pelle's lawyer, Bernard Hotz, says you've got it wrong. Pravin Gordhan's lawyers are saying that you've got it wrong, that you're ignoring affidavits, you're ignoring evidence. As the Office of the Public Protector, Opa Sekhalwe, your response to that?
Well, we would not expect any implicated parties to welcome these findings with a smile. What I can say is that the public protector did all in her power to get to the truth, despite the challenges that she faced in this matter, including SARS refusing to hand over documents, refusing to hand over information to help the public protector in this regard. But we did get hold of evidence on which every single finding that you will find in that report is based. And we welcome moves by Mr. Pelle and the minister to take the matter on review, because then the courts will set the record straight.
All right, so you're happy to go to court, you're happy to fight this out in the public space, in the public domain, because it is absolutely crucial for the credibility and the sanctity of this Chapter 9 institution in the Office of the Public Protector. Regardless of the personalities involved, South Africans have to be able to trust the Office of the Public Protector, and if that trust has been undermined through the nefarious activities of government officials, then that should be exposed. And if the Public Protector has failed in her duty, will she resign?
Well, firstly, Bruce, let me indicate that there's absolutely nothing wrong with having a report taken on review. It's actually a positive thing. For example,
let's cut to the issue here. If Pravin Gordhan has got this wrong, then he must take the consequences for it. If the public protector, who's been so dogged in her pursuit of this matter, has got it wrong, Will she go?
No,
save us the trouble. Well, she's been so obsessive in her pursuit of these guys. She is so determined in her righteousness in this matter. And if she is right, then the bad guys must go down. If she is wrong, she should go down. This is a fight to the death, is it not, Opa?
When a judge gets something wrong, it gets overturned at the Supreme Court of Appeals. Do you ask them to leave office?
This is a very, very different case, Opa, and I think you know it.
No.
This is an obsessive fight by a Chapter 9 institution, by somebody who is adamant that she is right. If she is wrong in this matter, she should go because she is then deliberately not either misunderstanding the law or incapable of administering the office of the public protector. This is not child's play. This is a critical, critical job. The answer is no, then.
Let me have my say.
Let's look for a quick answer, Opa. We've got lots of other things to do, too.
Yeah, but you're taking a lot of the time. Opa, answer, please. There is a law called the Executive Members Ethics Act. That's one of the laws under which a complaint in this matter was lodged. In terms of that law, the public protector is obliged to investigate. So there's no obsession here. She had no other way. She had to investigate. And every finding that you find in that report is based on evidence. So there's no targeting of Minister Gordon. Unless you are saying the public protector should have ignored the law and not pursued the complaint when the law requires her to entertain it.
There's no question that the public protector should do her job. But if she has this matter wrong, because this is a highly politicized matter and she has been seen as a political pawn in this matter, she's been regarded in some circles as that. If she has it wrong, she will stay in office, in her view. She'll have to then go through a parliamentary process to be removed. She won't go voluntarily.
She will stay in office just like a judge whose judgment is overturned by the Constitutional Court remains on the bench.
Thank you for that clarity, Opa Sekgalwe. Thank you. And Bernard Hotz before that. On to another big fight, and really unseemly fight in the corporate world, because you can't just be highlighting fights in the public sector, can you? The old Mutual Peter Moyo fight. Oh my goodness me, this is a mess. It's ratcheted up a notch as well. Peter Moyo has made serious allegations on the behavior of Trevor Manuel as chairman of Old Mutual and claims that he, as Peter Moyo, was victimized for suggesting that Manuel pay his legal bills, which the former chief executive should be for the chairman's account. Now, Moyo claims, after he was accused of conflicts of interest, that he'd made the same charge against the former finance minister. It's also a horrible fight. Today, Old Mutual says in a statement that the former chief executive, Peter Moyo, and his legal team appear to be following a deliberate strategy of attempting to divert attention from Mr. Moyo's own action. Quote, this strategy has included casting aspersions on directors of Old Mutual by making false and unwarranted allegations directed in particular at the board chair, Trevor Manuel. Tabi Tsengiwe is the chief communications officer for Old Mutual. How does a company and their chief executive fall out of love so fast and so publicly and so in such an unseemly way, Tabi?
Good evening, Bruce. I think this is not about two people falling out of love. The issue at hand is about a board decision that was taken regarding a conflict that arose in how Mr. Moyo conducted himself in terms of the relationship between Old Mutual and NMT. So I definitely would like to emphasize and probably steer away from the fact of what they have been doing in the public to make this a focus on a
Answer this question for me then, Tabby. Is there on record anywhere with Old Mutual in board documents and minutes or anything like that, Peter Moyo raising as a concern that Trevor Manuel should be paying legal fees for personal legal battles versus Old Mutual legal work before Trevor Manuel and the board raised issues of conflicts of interest with Peter Moyo?
So that will be answered in the court papers that we have presented, Bruce. But I would like to say that Mr. Moyo himself actually supported the decision and approved the payment of all the fees that he refers to.
Is that a matter of record? I mean, is that notated in board minutes?
Yes, it's a matter of record. And just to clear things up on this issue, Bruce, it is not uncommon for companies to pay legal fees if those relate to matters that affect the reputation of the actual company. And the payment of those fees would have gone through the requisite governance approvals, and those would have been received. So any allegation to the contrary is completely unfounded.
Okay.
And certainly one of the things that we look forward to responding to in court on the 16th of July.
One of the things Peter Moyo wants is his job back. But my reading of the Old Mutual statement today is that hell would freeze over before that happened.
That is a matter that will be for the courts to decide when we present our papers in this discussion.
Why has this matter been allowed to deteriorate as much as it has in the public domain, Tabby? It's just, I mean, Old Mutual is the oldest and most venerable financial services institution in the country. And this feels like a playground spat between two people with egos who trod on each other's toes. Or maybe it's more serious than that. Maybe it is a very serious issue of governance. Maybe it goes to something fundamentally more serious. Is it more serious?
Firstly, I'd like to say that this is not how Old Mutual would have liked to see this unfold, certainly not how the board would have liked to see this unfold. We at no point would have liked this to play out publicly in the media as it has ended up doing. It is unfortunate, however, that that is the route that Mr. Moyo and his legal team have taken. In terms of how we actually see this unfolding, it's a matter of the courts to decide, really, Bruce. It is okay. Definitely a sad day for us.
But, you know, I mean, he's effectively insulted not only Trevor Manuel, but the entire board, because basically he said that the board has sided with Peter, with Trevor Manuel, even though his suggestion is that they knew he was up to no good with claiming legal fees that he should never have claimed, even though you now tell me that Peter Moyo had signed off on those legal fees too. I mean, it probably doesn't. Does he have a single friend left in that board?
I think it's a pity that he has cast aspersions on members of the board in a very disrespectful way. It is something that we deeply regret, because we are talking about a board that is comprised of individuals of good standing who are leaders in their own right, who have impeccable track records of having led different organizations in their own right. So it really is regrettable and extremely unfortunate that he has decided to personally attack members of the board in this regard. And it is something that really does sadden all of us.
Tabby, we must leave it there. Thank you. Tabby Tsengiwe, Chief Communications Officer for Old Mutual.
The Money Show. The Markets.
Well, markets lost a bit of ground today, and it all came about as the U.S. markets opened. We saw the jobs numbers, 224,000 new jobs created in the U.S. in June, a much better number than a very disappointing May number. And it seemed to change the whole discussion around interest rates, unless you're Donald Trump, and we'll talk about that. But yeah, for the last month or so, the world has been anticipating that the U.S. would cut rates and the rest of the world would follow suit. And certainly in South Africa, we would do similar things too. Has that whole discussion changed, I wonder? I mean, when we look at it, Garth Curry is a senior portfolio manager at Sanlam Private Wealth. Are interest rate cuts off the table in the US now?
Good evening, Bruce. No, Bruce, the market has just pushed it out. They're now saying that possibly there won't be a cut in July, but are still anticipating possibly interest rate cuts maybe later in the year.
I mean, Donald Trump is tweeting, because that's what he does, saying that the U.S. economy will rocket if the Fed cuts interest rates. He's put an extraordinary amount of pressure. If Cyril Ramaphosa did this to Lesedja Ganyahu, we'd be cross with it. But Donald Trump has no such compunctions.
Correct, Bruce. He's just tweeted on the way to the golf course that interest rates are too high. And the Fed went and cut interest rates. The U.S. market would improve and the economy would rocket. So that's what his comment on the way to the golf course this morning.
The only reason why the U.S. Fed would consider cutting interest rates, though, if it was worried about growth, if it was worried about a slowdown in growth. And that is the real concern. There are even some pundits in the United States suggesting that economy may even already be in some form of recession.
You know, the Fed this whole year has been pulling back on rates and you know, and slowed down and said they're not no longer hiking rates, but they would go on pause. And then the recent comments that we've seen recently was that they were possibly going to cut rates later this year. But these figures that came out today, when they created 244,000 jobs for the month, 75,000 more than anticipated, definitely puts that on hold a bit, which has definitely assisted in strengthening the dollar, because the dollar has drifted out. Having said that, it's off its lows and coming back a little bit the other way, and gold went down to 1390. It's back at 1399. Mm. So we're turning back the other way a bit.
Yeah, I mean, markets are just so mad. I mean, they really are. The knee-jerk reactions are very disheartening. I mean, does it undermine our Reserve Bank's possible desire to cut rates? At the last MPC meeting, three of the members of the Monetary Policy Committee said hold, two said cut, and now we're down to four members of the Monetary Policy Committee, and it'll be up to the governor to have the casting vote if it's a tie. One wonders whether or not they will have the compunction to cut at their next meeting in a couple of weeks.
It could be, could affect that, Bruce, because, you know, on the other side of that coin, you've seen, you know, gold and the commodities are somewhat we export. But we've also seen on the back of the dollar strengthening, we've also seen oil pick up again. So oil's picking up again, which is going to put maybe more inflation pressure in South Africa. And it's but the economy in South Africa, as we know, has really been taking strain, and the man in the street has got less money to spend in his pocket. So it would be nice to see an interest rate cut, but I think there was a concern what effect it would have on our bond yields, because the U.S. bond yields on today's figures have gone from 1.95% back to 205, it jumped up 10 points. Likewise, the South African bonds have also jumped up from 804 to 815.
Suggesting less likelihood of a cut.
Correct, Bruce.
Okay. In our local markets, I suppose the only story of any real note today was Aspen Pharmacare, which is really trying to restructure its global business. It's got lots of debt, and it's trying to sort itself out. It was looking for a partner in Europe in one of its businesses, and that partner seems to have walked away, or they walked away from the partner. Whatever happened, there's no deal on the table, and they got hit on the day.
Bruce said, you know, when the news broke, the market, the share price went down nearly 7.8%. It recovered a bit better in the death and only finishing just under 4%, but still under 100 Rand, because that deal has been on the table since the 22nd of March, and now they've walked away from the deal. So I'm sure they will still try and reconclude a deal and continue to reduce debt at Aspen. They did sell the milk formula business, which reduced the debt dramatically, which helped the share price recover from its low of 70 Rand odd. And I'm sure they will continue to do that too, because their turnover, the money that they're bringing in, the cash flow business is still doing extremely well. But they do need to reduce the debt dramatically to improve the cash flow for the business going forward.
Any thoughts on the fight between Old Mutual and its former chief executive? It's salacious and it's gossipy and it's interesting. I mean, you know, it's interesting to the public, but is it in the public interest? There's the question.
Bruce is probably pulling down the share price a little bit, which could create an opportunity going forward.
Oh, the buyer in you, yes.
So there's always opportunities, and the market is so reactive to news. Doesn't matter whether it's Aspen, whether it's the iron ore price dropped 5% because the Chinese are stimulating. Kumba dropped nearly 7%.
Sure.
And we should see good results from Kumba and Platts come out on the 23rd of July, so nothing much next week, but the following week we see the results coming out of Kumba and Platts, which will be good for Anglos. And most of those mining stocks dropped 2%, but we should see good dividends, good earnings coming from all the mining stocks going forward. So when the results come out, there'll be new news on those shares and possibly they could recover.
Garth Curry, thank you very much.
Thank
Garth
you, Bruce.
Is a portfolio manager at Sanlam Private Wealth.
The Brutal Biz Quiz.
Time for the Brutal Biz Quiz on a Friday night. It's your chance to win 4,000 Rand courtesy of Altron. That is the prize that is up for grabs, but we make you work for it. We make you work for it. We don't somewhat just give away 4,000 Rand just because you're nice. It helps, but it's not the main thing. 011-883-0702-021-446-0567. First question tonight, which is the odd one out? Sexy Socks, Matosa, Ubuntu Baba, or Frankies? Which is the odd one out? Sexy Socks, Matosa, Ubuntu Baba, or Frankies? One of those is the odd one out. Which one is it? 011-883-0702-021-446-0567.
The Money Show. The Brutal Biz Quiz.
First question, which is the odd one out? Sexy Socks, Matosa, Ubuntu Baba, or Frankies? Nonhlanhla in Deep Kloof?
Yes, the odd one is the Frankies.
The odd one is Frankie's. I'm afraid not, Nonhlanhla. Oh. But you've made it easier. Skumbuzo and Braamfontein.
Sexy Socks.
I'm afraid not, Skumbuzo. Moleboheng.
Matosa.
Why Matosa?
Because Frankie's, Sexy Socks, and Ubuntu Baba were those brands that were with. Sadly, I believe ripped off, if I'm getting the story right. In a way, it was five.
Okay, you're on the right track. You're on the right track, absolutely. Early last year, local designer Matosa accused Zara, not Woolworths, like the others, of copying one of his designs, his signature diamond-shaped sock design, but the others have accused Woolies. So Matosa has accused, Laduma at Matosa has accused Zara, not Woolies. So yes, it is the odd one out, and you're absolutely right. Which superstar obtained the publishing rights to the vast majority of the Beatles catalogue in 1985?
Which superstar acquired 1985 Beatles? Good Lord. I have no idea.
I'm so sorry. Sorry. Duncan and Rosebank, who acquired the Beatles catalogue?
It was Michael Jackson.
Absolutely. $47 million. And he beat up Paul McCartney, who wanted that catalogue. And Paul McCartney is still battling to try and get access to that. And of course, this week, Taylor Swift was revealed to wanting to get her back catalogue back from a guy called Scooter Braun, who she doesn't like very much. There are a bunch of people who are involved in the same thing. And I would like to know what that same thing is. Ketso Gordon, Adrian Gore, Jabu Mabuza, Brian Joffe, and Judy Damini and Michael Jordan all have one entity in common. And Ketso Gordon just spoke about it now. What is that one thing they've got in common?
I'm going to say the Discovery Bank.
No, I'm afraid not, Duncan. It's more altruistic than that. Colin in Four Ways?
No, I've got no idea.
Oh, sorry, Colin. We're in a bit of a rush. Phil in Somerset West.
Hello, they're all part of SME Wealth Fund Management.
Very, it's not exactly right, but you're right. Absolutely, Phil, congratulations. It's the SASME Fund. That's what they're all working on together. Who was the head of the IMF before Christine Lagarde?
Oh, man, he was at Dominic.
Yes, we're doing good. DSK, Dominic. They called him, yes.
Dominic, he left under a large cloud.
Oh, he left without his trousers on. Yes. Dominic?
Yeah.
Dominic,
I can't remember the rest of it. Dominic.
Yes.
SK.
Yes.
Double barreled, yeah. I can't remember that. Dominic.
We're out of time, so I've got to give it to you, Phil.
Okay.
If I said Strauss Kent, would I be right?
Close.
Strauss Kahn. You're right. Yes, well done, Phil. You're the Wiz of the Brutal Biz Quiz. Off, we got soft this evening. Phil in Somerset West, Wiz of the Brutal Biz Quiz this evening. Dominic Strauss Kahn, he resigned in 2011 on allegations that he sexually assaulted a woman who was cleaning his room in a hotel in New York. Lagarde now is being chosen to head up the European Central Bank. Dominic Strauss Kahn, we haven't heard from him for a while. Well done, Phil in Somerset West. 4,000 Rand in cash, courtesy of 702 Cape Talk and Altron. Altron, there. When it matters.
702. Bruce is on Twitter at Bruce Business.
So, Sofiso's not on holiday. Krabo's not on holiday. Tekiso's not on holiday. But one out of four of us is on holiday. I'll see you in 10 days' time. Arabile will look after you. Ray White will look after you. You have a wonderful and safe weekend, and we'll chat again in a couple of weeks.